Composer Steve Reich is one of the fathers of minimalist music. Although his work has gone through many changes over the years, his new piece, Different Trains, has its roots in his early taped speech pieces from the mid-60s. Different Trains is a composition for string quartet and tape, commissioned for the Kronos Quartet. The piece was inspired by childhood memories. His parents divorced when he was one. His mother moved to Los Angeles. His father stayed in New York. And because they had joint custody, Reich traveled back and forth by train with his governess between the years 1939 and 1942. Looking back on the excitement of these train rides, he realized that if he'd been in Europe, as a Jew, he would have been riding a train to his death. The first movement is set in America before the war. Called what you're doing in Different Trains a form of documentary music. Mm-hmm. That's because you're using actual sounds in it, recordings of real people's voices, real train whistles, sirens.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes back to very early pieces that you probably know, It's Gonna Rain and Come Out, which we're working exclusively just with a short snippet of a recorded voice. So as opposed to, let's say, setting a text the way Schubert has done, the way every composer has done, and the way I've done in, let's say, Tehillim or the desert music. In Different Trains, I'm not setting a text, I'm setting human beings. That's quite a different situation.
What you did is interview the governess who took you on the train rides between New York and Los Angeles. You interviewed a Pullman porter who worked the trains on the years that you drove, that you rode on them, and you interviewed a few Holocaust survivors who are the same age as you are. And you took fragments of their speech and use that as the musical text. I find myself saying their lines over and over. It becomes kind of like music, even though it's speech that you're using.
I think what you're driving at is, how can the speech become music, or at least I hope you are.
Yes, exactly.
Because what happened is that I selected each of these sentences, phrases, single words, place names, dates, for what they said, to be sure, but also for how they were said. Sometimes when we speak, you or I and everybody, we almost sing. We don't know it. It just goes by in our conversation. But if you isolate it on tape, then you find, for instance, in my governess, when she was talking about one of the trips she said, he went from Chicago to New York, and it was really, I don't have perfect pitch, but it was F-A flat, F-A flat. The Pullman porter said 1941. And the rule I set for myself was, every time a woman speaks, she'll be doubled note for note by the viola. And every time a man speaks, he'll be doubled note for note by the cello. And my job is to arrange, harmonize, and write counterpoint to something that is a given that I can't change. And that was quite an enjoyable restriction.
So you basically had to transcribe musically the spoken words that you were using.
Exactly. I actually had to sit down with a music paper and go over what they said and hear it again and again until I could get down the notes that were being said. Now, that isn't always the case, but I chose those fragments that were strongly pitched, and then I was able to make that transcription.
The first movement of Different Trains is set in the United States, based on your rides back and forth between 1939 and 1942 between New York and Los Angeles. The second movement is the Holocaust, and there's an incredible musical shift that happens right between the first and second movements. Would you describe for us what you're doing there?
Well, what happens right on the button is that the air raid sirens begin right as Rachella, who's a woman from Rotterdam now living in Aragon, says 1940. Musically, I wanted to get something that would come in like a, you know, like a absolute knife stroke and just divide those movements, even though there's no time between them.
1940. In the third and final movement of Different Trains, the movement opens with something closer to more traditional violin playing, a string quartet playing than we've heard earlier on.
Right.
Why?
Well, what happens at the beginning of the third movement is da-da-dee-da-da-da. Well, you've been so used to hearing voices, you wonder what that is. Well, actually, what it is it's Paul, the Hungarian now living in Boston, saying, "And the war was over." But you don't hear him first because there has been so much speech, so much train whistle, so much siren, so much noise, that the third movement begins to move away from all of this towards music, towards some kind of resolution of the situation, which of course can't be resolved, but there is, I think, a good attempt at that in the third movement. I think a successful attempt at it in the third movement. What's happening in the third movement is that paradiddle rhythm of the train has stopped, and now all the rhythms, all the music are going to come out of these speech patterns. Da-da-dee-da-da-da is multiplied into the cello, into the viola, and to the two violins of the quartet, so that when he finally says, "And the war was over," his voice is surrounded, if you like, as a mosaic of tiles, each tile being, in fact, a musical rendition of what he says. There is no other train rhythm overriding that, and that's what separates the third movement from the other two movements.
Seems to be getting so much more personal than it's ever been. Your last few pieces, they all have texts that really mean something to you, or a story that really connects to you. They seem to really be coming directly out of your life, which isn't to say that any of your other music didn't, but I just sense a kind of emotional depth.
Well, what is it? Charles Olson said, "We don't get older, we stand more revealed." I think as you go on, it may just happen, at least to certain people, that what they do becomes more personal. Right now, and for the foreseeable future, I feel very very moved and energized by the possibility of bringing in things from the world that mean something to me, particularly in a documentary sense. And I'm now beginning work on a huge documentary music theater piece, which will use video, and the basic location, which will be videotaped, is in the Middle East, which is, of course, one of the hot spots on the earth right now. And for me, the possibility of bringing that material in, maintaining its documentary reality, and at the same time having the musicians literally imitate, do something that they would musically never do, by getting their musical cues from the sounds of voices and the sounds of things that are happening in the world, is a very inspiring way to make music.
When you write a commission, do you ever have doubts enter your mind, like, what if they don't like this, the person or the group that commissioned me to do it?
Well, I don't have so much those thoughts. I have these thoughts which went through my mind even during Different Trains. This is preposterous. Who cares that I took train rides before? How pretentious. What a bunch of garbage. Why don't you just do the Holocaust part? Or this Holocaust part will become too overly emotional. It's been done to death. I mean, you name it, and I was ready to junk Different Trains at least 20 or 30 times.
Wow.
So, yeah, sure. I mean, it wasn't so much fear of what Kronos would think. I just began to think, you know, I'm just completely out to lunch here. What am I doing?
Thanks for talking with us about Different Trains.
Thank you, Terry.